You get that? I went to another chapter. That don't mean much, but I went to another chapter. Chapter 4 is just a continuation, really, of chapter 3. There's a lot of divisions in the Bible, chapters, and things that... And I don't... I have to be so careful how I say things about the original. But a lot of these divisions weren't in the way they are in the original. And so... When the King James group got together, and you can study that group, and it's really a good study just of the men that were involved in that translation, from the Koine Greek to the English, and I don't want to get into it, but there's nothing that they added or take away from the Bible whatsoever, as far as importance, but many men have sought to try to find and search. Some couple of men that know Greek tried to challenge it a few years back. Well, it's been about 20 years back or 30. And but the King James Bible is the best English Bible you can get. It's the best English Bible you can get. Yes. Now, you can't say that for the Spanish folks or the Japanese, I'm sorry, or whatever it might be. But for the English-speaking people, this is the best Bible you can get, the best translation you get, the closest you can get. In fact, most of it is just all of it, as far as I'm concerned. God promised to preserve his word. So I'm not saying, well, some of it isn't inspired. I just won't talk that language. This is the word of God, and I believe that with all my heart. Why are you saying that? I'm not sure, but there is a lot of movements to try to shake your faith about the Bible. Men that know... Maybe the Koine Greek, and the Hebrew, the Chaldean, written in about three languages. And so a lot of them can study and have other languages and certainly try to challenge it, but don't listen to them. The King James Bible is all you'll ever need in the English-speaking language. It's the best, it's right, it's correct. And you can say with all authority, it is God's word. You get that set in your heart no matter what they say. And they'll say, you'll hear it, they'll say. And they'll talk about it. But the King James Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is God's preserved word. He promised he'd preserve it. It's tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And so... certainly it's a tried and proven Bible, and you can trust it. Now, we're dealing with, like I said, all that because of the division. We're starting chapter 4. Chapter 3 introduces this subject. Chapter 4 begins with saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And so it's dealing with the ministry of God's word. It's dealing with how God's word is presented, who's qualified, how it's changed. God wants us to understand there's been a change for the better. The Old Testament, he kept on dealing with it there in chapter 3, that there was a veil over their face. And they still, those that reject Christ, still don't see it. Still don't see it. You and I can't quite grasp that. It's simple, open to me, and that's what it's supposed to be. That's what the Bible said it'd be, open and simple, clear to you if you trusted Christ. But the people that reject Christ, they have a veil. They have a blockage. They have a confusion. They have a distorted look at the Bible. But you and I that have this clear vision, as I'll deal with some, the ministry of His Word, God wants us to see that it's something that He's simplified. Now that, even that word, a lot of people don't like you to use that word about the Bible. They want you to think it's super spiritual and it takes 20 degrees added to their name for you to get it. That's not true. This chapter, well, this book begins with Paul glorying in verse number 12 of chapter 1, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not in the wisdom of man, not in fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we invite our conversation to the world more abundantly to you word. And so he begins this book with speaking about how there's a simplicity, how it's open and clear now. And God has made it that way in the New Testament. He said here that He's made us preachers. He said in verse number 6, who hath made us able ministers. So you look at verse 6, who hath made us able ministers. That's they're enabled. They're helped. They've been giving enlightenment. Their minds have been opened. They've been taught the Word of God. And so God has given us this enablement of the ministry. He's called us. He's enabled us. There's no sense of Him calling a preacher that don't know the Bible, that can't figure the Bible out. And so God gives them, notice it says, an enablement ministers of the New Testament. Now, he's not doing that to the hirelings. Let me get back and say this. Look with me first to Ephesians 4. I don't want to go ahead of myself here. Go to Ephesians 4. What do you need preachers for? I mean, I can read, I can study the Bible. I know the English language. I got commentaries, I got a concordance. I got a lexicon, I got a Greek dictionary. You got a Greek dictionary? Look with me down to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse number 11. Notice the first two words, and He. The third word is, He gave. He gave. Now, it's given to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And He tells the reason He gave them. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. I said the other day, A.W. Tozer said, there's probably hundreds, but he in a book I was reading, he wrote, I think there was about 30 named, and they were common important words that really changes the doctrine if you don't know the meaning of the word. And he said, of those 30 words, like repentance and glory and worship, all these words have been, the meaning of them have been changed. And when you change the meaning of one word, you can change a whole doctrine. Yes, you change the word all, like the Calvinists do, and you change the whole doctrine of salvation. You change the word faith. You change the whole doctrine of salvation. And so I'm saying to you that so many words have been changed. And preachers if they're not studying, and if they're not searching, and if they're not going back through history, and if they're not looking at the truth of what the Bible says. All that's pretty good stuff, but that won't do it. If you don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, he won't get it either. I'm serious. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit of God to enable them to be able to help people. For what? To all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Oh, a mature man. A man that's settled in the Scriptures. A man that understands he's got it right. You can say that. A perfect man, he's got it right. He's not confused about it. It's settled. It's clear. And he knows what the Bible says. He's got it down. He's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. He's stable. He's settled. He's not being tossed to and fro anymore. We'll do read that in a minute. I'm saying this man that is perfect. You want a good definition of perfect? Are you ready? Are you ready? He's everything that God wants him to be. Would that help? Would that help clarify that word, make it a little more understanding? He's everything that God wants him to be. You can take man's mockery of perfection. I wouldn't dare but stand before God and mock his words just to protect a sinning religion. I wouldn't do it. Unto the measure, notice what it says, a perfect man, how's he perfect? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what I'm saying. That's all God wants to be. Just like Jesus. Be like Jesus all day long. Perfect man. There's your definition, right? Clear in your Bible. Following the word perfect. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How do they deceive? With words, with words, with words, changing words. Every false religion changes words and their meaning in the Bible. Everyone. Everyone, everyone. That's why God wants you to know, I'll keep saying it till I die, the puzzle's got to fit. And when you got a word that people have wrested and twisted and it won't fit the rest of the Bible, back up and say, Lord, I know that you mean for it to fit, and it does fit in your Bible. Teach me. You ever read your Psalms? Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Yes, sir. You cry for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. You and I need wisdom. Amen. You don't get it by just studying books. You get the wisdom from God. Does it say that he giveth wisdom, asking for wisdom, he give it upgradeth and liberal? Yes. Doesn't it say that in the Bible, that he'll give you wisdom, yes, upgradeth? Amen. All you got to do is ask. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him. I'm not wanting to preach on this tonight, but I can't let it go. You've heard me say, these people that speak that you're in Jesus, and that literally hides you. You're in Jesus' righteousness, and that hides you from God seeing anything, in your life that's not right. Talks about here, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Does that's what it says? Well, let me keep moving. From whom the whole body is fit tightly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every believer is involved in the church, and they're supplying what needs to keep a church functioning as a whole unit, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. That's why you have preachers. That's why God called preachers. That's why God gave preachers. That's why God enabled preachers. He doesn't give a church a hireling. Look back with me to John 10. John 10. You hear preachers, and now it's common in the independent Baptist movement. It's common that many preachers don't stay in a church over 3, 4, 5 years. And they'll go to another church. 40 years ago, I remember the Church of God man tell me that in the Church of God, this has been over 40 years ago, he said every 3 years we change. Every 3 years. Well, let me say this to you. There's something wrong when a preacher can just up and leave a congregation. Something wrong. I'll tell you why. Look with me here in John 10 and verse number 12. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. You see that? Whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming, see the devil working, see it where people are getting upset or somebody's mad, see the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. Please look at the next 5 words. And careth not. 6, for the sheep. A hireling don't care. You know what a hireling is? A position seeker. They're not a minister. They're not a pastor. They're a position seeker. They like that position. And when the wolf comes, the pressure, when it's invaded by pressure by the devil, there's a squabble in the church or there's trouble someplace, the hireling will run and scatter. He don't care. I'm saying a man that's called of God, God enables him, God uses him, God helps him. If you don't get nothing else, get some of these statements. Please listen to this. I told you a few weeks ago how that the Southern Baptists years ago down here in Wake Forest held their conference. And one of the resolutions was that you had to go to a Southern Baptist college or seminary in order to preach in a Southern Baptist church. Now, I want you to think with me just a moment. What is that saying? That's telling you that getting a superior level of education is what qualifies you or enables you to be a preacher. Now you say, preacher, that don't sound right. It ain't right. No. Well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, you'd be among the few, because most people believe that if you don't go to school someplace, you're not qualified to preach. It used to be real common. Now, I have preachers that we have all the time. But it used to be common. They'll say, what school did you go to? When I first got into ministry, it was common. They'd say, where did you go to school? And they'll start naming off Bible colleges or Bible institutes or whatever, you know. But Bible colleges, Bible institutes, given degrees, doctor's degrees, whatever, a doctor of theology, I think I got one something like that. Somewheres, I don't know where it's at. Oh, it burned up just about, didn't it, in the fire. I was good for it. But that don't make you a preacher. That don't enable you. That don't enable you to walk with God. That don't give you wisdom of the Bible. You know what you go to college for? You know what you go to any seminary for? The know-how. The know-how to be a business operator of the church. You know how to run the church business. You don't know how to run the spirit of the church because you can't. But you can run the business of the church. You can put everything in a proper form. Man, you can just organize it. You can have everything working like clockwork, just like a business. Well, it's supposed to be a body that worships in spirit and truth. And I see here that God enabled them. God calls them. God gave them in Ephesians. God is the one that does the enablement here. I'm saying it's not somebody that just likes to be over and rule and tell people what to do. After a while, that'll get old and somebody will tell you a few things and out the door. I had a preacher tell me right out there 3/4 of the way across that parking lot. He says, "Brother Owen," he says, "when are you going to learn it's time for you to leave?" A preacher said that to me. I had a man tell me when I started it, and there was a few people there, and the last one going out the door said to me, he says, "You might as well close it up. There ain't nobody going to come no more." You know what I said to him? I said, "Sir, man didn't call me. Man don't control me." I says, "God called me to preach, and that's what I'm going to do right here. I'm going to preach." All I had was just my family. And I'd preach to them. I'd make them stand up with those curtains open so you could look from outside going down 250, and you could see us singing. You could see us praying. You could see us taking an offering. I made my people give an offering. If I'd let the wolf get me, I'd have been gone long time ago. Long time ago. God gave, God ordained, God anoints, God gives you the message. And let me just say, look back here in our text. Look back forward in our text. Notice what it says, and I don't have time to preach this. Therefore seeing, comprehending, recognizing, fully understanding, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. We've received mercy from God, the grace and the mercy of God, the help of God. Receive mercy, we faint not. We don't quit, we don't give up, we don't cave in, we don't compromise, we don't yield to pressure. You just keep going. You just keep going. It's a call. God's enabled ministers of the New Testament. He's the one that's enabled them. He's the one that sent them. If I took you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Ghost puts them severally in the body as he wills. Each one, he puts in the body where he wants them, that the body might function as a whole, having all different types of people with different talents and gifts and ability to make the church function as one body. Nobody superior, nobody better. Nobody can say we don't need this and we don't need that one. The body functions as a whole, and God calls, places a preacher in the ministry. Amen. I remember I was sitting in a service. They're down there now in that service, Brother Shepherd's at. Lord, I told you. And preachers sitting in front of me and Brother Sutton. Did I tell you that the other day? Brother Sutton was preaching. And that preacher turned around and looked at me. And he said, he's still got the touch of God, ain't he? I said, he's still got the touch of God. I'm saying to you that it's a ministry of the Word of God, and this deals with it here in this chapter, how open it is, how simple it is. Even a child can understand it. A child can be saved. You're supposed to understand what you're doing when you get saved. Realizing who God is, realizing who you are, realizing what you got to do. And a child can know that. Know it completely. Enough to satisfy God and save them. Amen. Amen. It's a ministry, and I won't get into it tonight, a ministry of the New Testament. I want to deal with a little bit how that even the prophets couldn't see it clearly, what you could see. There was still clouds and darkness and things that they couldn't see all the way through. Even the angels wanted to look into it, didn't see it. Can you imagine that? What an amazing thing we have in the ministry today of the New Testament. Not saying that we don't use the Old Testament, but recognizing where it stands, my primary job is to preach about the one that gave us the New Testament, shed his blood, to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can introduce you to Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I can introduce you to David and Daniel and all of them down through, and Elijah and Elisha. That's not your salvation. Great man, great prophets, did wondrous things. They're not your Savior. The Jews read him constantly. But it's going to take Jesus in order for you to get it right, to see it right, perceive it right. Shall we stand? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not goats, bulls, guys. You know, there's passages in the Bible saying God really, he didn't want those sacrifices. He wants you. Circumcision. He wanted circumcision. Romans chapter 2, the last verse. He wants circumcision of the heart. That's what it says. God help us. It's a great Bible. And we got a great Savior. And let me say this. Paul didn't have this. He wrote, when that which is perfect is come. When it comes. Paul was writing down some of the books that were going to be, but he didn't have a completed Bible. You have a Bible that the last word is amen. It's over. It's done. It's written. And then just before it, a few verses, don't add to it. Don't take away. It's finished work. We got the perfect inerrant, perfect Word of God, the finish of it. They only had a partial copy. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We got the whole thing. They didn't have that. Peter didn't have that. John didn't have that. John had it closer, but it wasn't written all down for him. Amen. Remember to pray, call, visit. If you can take some food up.